Hello once again. I'm Len Jeffrey, and part two of the program is coming up in just a few seconds. Hopefully I'll do this right. Here goes. Yes, I'm so excited. Okay, one thing I didn't do is click on to something. Wayback Country 1. Wayback Country. I don't know what I do wrong all the time. But I promise it's coming on. In the meantime, I'll play this thing here, this song here, if I can get it up for you. Buck Owens, just quickly, just a Buck Owens song.
With the beautiful girl that I met made in Japan. The beauty of her face was beyond my wildest dreams. Like cherry blossoms blooming in the mountain in the early spring. As we walked by the river and she softly took hold of my hand, when I fell deep in love with the girl made in Japan. Us up at the break of day. Her smiling eyes always seem to try to understand all the love in my heart for the girl made in Japan. My transistor radio comes from far away, and when it's night over here, over there, day. She cried when she said she'd been promised to another man. That's when I left my heart with the girl made in Japan. Yes, my heart will always be with the girl made in Japan.
Now here is part two of Johnny's program.
Cross comes out, and may God help us all to see. No resort crossing tragedy, no resort crossing tragedy. You'll never touch this pile of lumber.
Let's get that at the right setting here. 120, where did I stop off here? Here we go. Very soon, right about here.
Land, the Martin Hartwell story. The Martin Hartwell story. The Martin Hartwell story. Just a little bit west of Kappa's Casing. Resort Crossing, that's the name. Farmers hauled from out of the bushland. all put for the mill-bound train. 20 farmers met that night to guard their pulp from a union strike, unaware this night would see the Resore Crossing tragedy, the Resore Crossing tragedy. You'll never load that pile of lumber, said the union men when they came, though they numbered about 500, the 20 farmers took rifle aim. We've got to get our pulpwood out before the Muskeg Cross comes out, and may God help us all to see no Resore Crossing tragedy, no Resore Crossing tragedy. You'll never touch this pile of lumber, but they came, and tragically, three men died that February night in the year of 63. Eight more wounded, some beat up, tires slashed on the lumber trucks. A night of death and destiny, the Resore Crossing tragedy, the Resore Crossing tragedy. You'll never touch this pile of lumber. Seven words that spelled out pain for the widows and their children and their men who died in vain. How can anyone forget the bloodiest labor battle yet in all Canadian history, the Resore Crossing tragedy, the Resore Crossing tragedy. Just a little bit west of Campus Casing, they erected a sculpture beside the tracks of the bushman and his family who lived their lives behind the axe. It reminds us in the north not to bring our tempers forth, that there may never elsewhere be no Resore Crossing tragedy, no Resore Crossing tragedy, no Resore Crossing tragedy.
I see my darling in each ray of summer sunlight.
Hi, I'm Steve Patigo of the Ottawa Valley Country Music Hall of Fame, and you're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlot with Wayback Country Jamboree.
My heart would cry more than the weeping willow tree, if my darling.
Now, friends, as mentioned, we have got three special guests of honor on the Wayback Country Jamboree morning show this morning. With that mentioned, this next guest is a true member of the Stomp Tom legacy. Through being his dobro player as well as multi-instrumentalist, with that mentioned, it is a true honor to welcome one of the closest people to Stompin' Tom Connors during the last years of his life, Al Whittemeyer, to our program. Now, following this interview, a morning visit with Al, we'll hear a song that he requested that I played by Stompin' Tom, which was off of Tom's final recording session, and it'll be a song titled Rattling Cannonball. So with that, here now is a good friend of mine and a good friend of Stompin' Tom Connors, none other than Al Whittemeyer.
Good morning, Johnny.
Well, it's a pleasure to be talking to you. So let's go back to how you first got acquainted with Stompin' Tom.
Well, of course, you know, I've been a fan for many years, but I recorded on his record label with a bunch of different bands over the years, playing the dobro, playing fiddle and playing dobro.
Okay.
Notably, the Dixie Flyers, also with Dennis LePage and Station Road back in the day. So he knew of me because we recorded on the Dixie Flyer album, Cheaper to Lease, we recorded Roses in the Snow.
Okay, yes, a classic for sure, yes.
Mm-hmm. And he always liked my dobro playing. So I've had, over the years, when Tom came back out of retirement, there was a lot of people, guys in that band that I knew over the years playing. And, you know, some were like Steve Petrie and Darren Parise.
Okay, okay.
In 2004, I got a call from Darren Parise to come and do some recording with Tom, playing dobro. And I had to refuse it because at the time I was down in Nashville at the Bluegrass Convention, Spigma Bluegrass Convention. And so I would have had to leave the convention and go in because the recording session was the next day.
Oh, wow. And okay, yes. And I said,
that's not going to happen. Well, that didn't happen. So in 2005, Darren needed a ride up to meet up with the tour in Stratford. So I said, yeah, I'll take you out. So I drove him out there. And this was 2005. And so I got him to the hotel where they were staying in Stratford, Ontario. And I drove up to the motel. And there was Tom sitting out in front of the room. He liked the whole motels that you can drive up and you can park and you can go right in your room.
For sure.
He liked them kind of rooms. So he can drive, because he used to carry stuff in his truck. He always had a Grand Caravan. It wasn't a Grand Caravan. What the hell was it? Not a Yukon.
Explorer?
No. It was a GMC Suburban. Okay. That's it.
Suburban. Oh, Suburban. Okay, yes.
So he always had it with his stuff in it. You know, because he got tools and water that he brought from his farm. You know, where he lived, to bring water with him on the road from home, and then nice. For his tea, because he liked his tea. He liked drinking tea.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
That's between the Moosehead beer.
Correct. They would start out with a tea, and you know he'd shave, and then then it'd be Moosehead.
Okay. Yes. For sure. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got talking at this motel in Stratford. Next thing you know, he says, "You want a beer?" I said, "Yeah, okay." So we had a beer, because I was talking to him about the different band members and Boot Records, and he knew a guy that Claire Adlam, and I said, "Well, my dad played with Claire Adlam back in the day," and so it just went from there. We just talked about. We knew people from Bruce County where he spent some time up there in the early days. There used to be a place up there at the Hepworth Country Music Hall, and you've probably heard that song before.
Yes, I have, for sure, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's out by Southampton, where he had some really good friends in Southampton, and he'd stay there. He didn't work much, because from what the locals told me, and as I know a bunch of them up there, they said, no, he didn't really work much, but he liked, you know, he played a lot of music. That's why they kept him around.
For entertainment reasons, exactly.
Yeah, but they got to be good friends, and the family still comes down to see the shows when you know, what's going on. So we could talk, and then he brought up the thing. He says, I hope the next time I record my next record, you can come and play Dobro. You won't be in Nashville, Tennessee. He remembered that, right?
Oh, wow. Okay, yes, for sure.
And he also said at the same time, he said, Al, have you ever thought about going back on the road again? And I said, well, give me a call. Maybe, you know, we'll look at it. And sure enough, I got a call. I got a call in the spring of 2006, and that was the start of my adventure.
Adventure with Tom, exactly, yes. So, you were saying you were recording with Tom. What are some of the songs that you recorded with him?
Well, the last two records would be The Ballad of Stompin' Tom.
And on Roads of Life.
And The Roads of Life. I'm on both them albums.
Okay.
Playing multiple instruments. And then we're like singing background with the hockey, because we recorded the hockey song.
Yes.
The background singing that, and then of course The Roads of Life, which was the last album. Then he got us to come back in again to re-record The Story of Jesus
on his Christmas album.
On his Christmas album.
Yes.
So we re-recorded that. He never liked the way that he said it sounded too thin. So we re-recorded that, and of course, as you know, the Christmas album turned into EMI took it and made it into a compilation Christmas album. You
exactly,
know,
for sure, with the snowmobile song and all that, yes. So you must have some great stories to tell about your time on the road with Tom.
Oh, I do. When we were traveling, you know, we would pull over every once in a while for something to eat, you know, when we were traveling, because Tom didn't like a tour bus. We basically drove from one end of the country to the back, and he was driving his own vehicle. He would drive himself most of the time, except for one time we hooked up with the band up in Thunder Bay.
Okay.
Billy McKinnon and I drove with him up to Thunder Bay, but he liked driving himself. He said, it gives me time to think. I said, okay, well, that's what he did.
Yeah.
We had a back and forth in the country that way. And we'd stop in for something neat, but it would have to be an outdoor patio. And, of course, you know, the boys would be thirsty, and they'd want a beer, you know. So then we'd order something to eat. When we were on tour, we would make sure that, because Tom wouldn't go somewhere if he couldn't smoke. So we'd find an outdoor patio.
For sure.
You know, they'd want to drink, you know, because we've been traveling and something cool to drink. And so we'd order ours, and Tom would ask the waiter and say, have you got any room temperature beer? Or first he'd ask, have you got any room moosehead? And they'd say, no. Oh, have you got any, room temperature that's sitting out, not in the cooler? No. Yeah. He'd say, well, I want a Molson Export, and just run that under the hot tap for about a minute.
So he never liked the very cold beer then?
No. Yeah, room temperature and 100 cigarettes a day.
Yes, okay, that's what I was wondering about. Tom smoked quite a bit. So how many would he roughly have smoked in a day?
Over 100.
Over 100, wow. So one right after the other, more or less.
Yeah, he was a chain smoker.
I see, yes. So would that have been why he never came out to meet his fans after shows?
I don't know. There was only one show that we went to that we signed, like we did autographs, and that was 2006, and that was at Edmonton with the last time.
Oh, wow, okay, yes. Because I met him three or four, maybe five times, and he never came out to see us.
No, well, see, what happens, he likes to talk, he likes having conversations with people. Like when we play Rama, he didn't really like Casino Rama. He liked the people there, I guess, I don't know, but he said, you know, he'd have to do a thing where he'd have to sign autographs, but it would be one person, talk about three, you know, what, a minute or so, and then the next person, and the next person. He didn't like that.
Yeah, I got a piece of audio I'll play with this interview. He says in it that he would have rather sat down with the person and talked to them than just an assembly line or whatever of autograph.
That's correct.
Just standing there and signing an autograph, no. I don't enjoy that as much as I would if I had more time with each person individually to, you know, shoot the guff with them for a couple of minutes each, or, you know, or something like that. That would be better than to just like have an assembly line for autographs. This, I don't really get any kick out of that, except for the fact that they want the autograph, and so I'm there to give it to them. But I would rather talk to them, you know.
Tell us about that last time in the recording studio. Was there ever a sign that he was slowing down?
Yeah, he started slowing down. We did the last tour in 2011.
11, okay, that's when I seen him too, yes. He was sitting at a stool that night.
Yeah, and he started that in the 2009 thing.
Okay.
But that was, sitting down was just more of a, more like being in conversation with him, getting a little close to the audience. And yeah, he needed the rest a wee bit. That stool turned out to be a good thing because people, like, thought he was sitting in their living room, you know.
Exactly, yes. One-on-one with them, exactly.
Yeah, and he was kind of concerned about that because, you know, he said, you know, people will come out to watch me stomp, and he said, I can't stomp like I used to, and but he did.
Yes,
and,
but not as much.
Yeah, yeah, not as much.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I wouldn't worry about that, Tom. I told him that, you know. I said, yeah, I wouldn't worry about that, Tom, because they're there, they're thinking that you're in their living room. And then as soon as he got the response, what he was getting from them songs, he, you know, that was it.
Here's an adrenaline.
Yeah.
It made him go forward with his show or whatever.
Exactly.
You say you were also close to Tom during the later years of his life. Was there ever any talk of retirement?
There was never a talk of retirement. No, there was never talk of retirement.
I see.
But he did record a whole pile of songs. That was what he wanted to do. We finished our summer tour, the last tour of 2011, and he immediately went into the recording studio and recorded a bunch of old, you know, old country and western songs, you know, like he did with the favorites, you know, back in the... He spent about 2 months, maybe 3 months in the studio recording a whole bunch of old country western standards, like he did back in the 70s, like or the early 60s.
Yes, in the 60s, the greatest timeless classics or whatever, that box set.
Exactly, and that's what he was doing. So he recorded, I don't know how many, maybe about 75 songs or so.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, EMI got released. Well, EMI and then the other record company that's got him now, I think it's the same people now. Then they released them songs, and then added, you know, they had the different people backing them up and stuff. And Tom wouldn't be happy. But I guess they're going to release them over the, you know, years.
But let's hope that they do before all of us good fans are gone.
There's a pile of songs. I heard them all.
Because you played on them.
No. It was just him and his flat top guitar, and he went in the studio by himself.
Oh, is that right? Okay, I see.
Oh, yeah.
Just him, like, acoustically, then.
Yep.
I see. Well, that'd be amazing to hear, for sure, yes.
Yeah, just him and his guitar.
I'll wrap up for now, but I'd love to do another follow-up interview with you, Al.
Sure.
But what song off the final sessions that you worked with Tom can I play for you?
How about the Cannonball, the Rattling Cannonball?
Sounds good, Al, for sure. I'll get that on. And it was an old Wolf Carter classic originally.
Yeah.
Well, with that, thank you for everything. And let's say happy heavenly birthday to Stompin' Tom Connors today.
We'll say happy birthday to Stompin' Tom.
Yes, and we'll crack open a moose head.
And have a moose head. Exactly. I'm not going to have a cigarette, but I'll have a moose head. Okay, Johnny, for sure.
Bye-bye.
Come gather round me, comrades, and listen while I tell about my good old ramblin' days. You may have heard some tell. First I was a hobo who claimed the rambler's call, and I took my first wild rambling trip on the rattling cannonball. She always blew the whistle at every curve or hill. I always knew the signal by the whistle oh so shrill. The hobos love the rider, and you'd often hear them call. It's great to be aboard once more on the rattling cannonball. She travels through the valleys, down mountains she will roll. It seems the roaring rattle someday would take its toll. But years she's been running, and ne'er can I recall. Have I ever seen a smash up on the rattling cannonball? Said boys, I traveled and I took my first wild ride on the good old rattling cannonball and stuck right by her side. Today I am conductor, tell many a story tall, but I never put a hobo off the rattling cannonball. The rich man has a parlor with all its splendor grand. The hobo rides a boxcar, his home's in any land. If you want to travel in style, you can have them all. Just take a trip from coast to coast on the rattling cannonball. We're leaving old Vancouver, through mountains she will roll. Way out across the prairie to North Ontario. All the way from Halifax, we're back in Montreal. Returning to Vancouver on the rattling cannonball. Well, now I must get rolling to have her there on time. She's 60 cars from head to tail and a run on the old main line. All aboard, we're off, boys, hear the happy hobo call. We're heading for a good long trip on the rattling cannonball. We're heading for a good long trip on the rattling cannonball.
Well, now before we close out the second hour of the Wayback Country Jamboree's 89th anniversary birthday party to Stompin' Tom Connors, I would like to send out a very heartfelt and very special hello to a dear lady in the life of Stompin' Tom Connors. That is the lady he loved for 39 years at the time of his passing in 2013, none other than Mrs. Stompin' Tom, Lena Connors. With that, I would like to dedicate the song that Tom wrote for the wedding, which was held on live television on November 2nd, 1973, to a whopping 2 million viewers tuned into the 12-minute ceremony. It was also marked the first wedding of its kind ever on television in Canada. With that, we'll send this one out to Mrs. Stompin' Tom.
We're trading hearts today. We're going all the way, changing from yesterday to people apart. I love you, come what may. This holy vow we say on this our wedding day. We're trading hearts. We're trading hearts today. Knowing the world's okay. Walking the same highway. Never to part. And if the sky be gray, I'll take your hand and say, will you be mine today? We're trading hearts. We're trading hearts today. We're going all the way, changing from yesterday to people apart. And if the sky be gray, I'll take your hand and say, will you be mine today? We're trading hearts. Will you be mine today? 'Cause we're trading hearts.
Well now, friends, as we close out this second hour of the Wayback Country Jamboree, I would like to welcome y'all to turn up your radios as we pay tribute to what I would like to class as the last two songs for the second hour, but also the closest songs that Tom ever did to gospel music. Of course, that is an all-time favorite titled The Story of Jesus, which appeared on his Christmas album, Merry Christmas, Everybody. And then following that, I would like to play a audio clip from the television program that Tom had back in the 70s and is a sung version of the Lord's Prayer. With that, we will be back following this on the other side of the third and final hour. I would also like to mention that a number of us would like to see the Stompin' Tom program that he did back in the 70s released from CBC Archives, but if it ever happened, who knows? With that, here's Tom once again.
In a land so far away, so long ago, lived a boy with his parents meek and low. By miraculous birth, he came to this earth, the savior of this wicked world of woe. Now his mother was a pure and shining dove, and Joseph showed the boy his tender love. For an angel of light had appeared on that night, proclaiming him the Son of God above. Now the first of many wonders to behold was when Mary couldn't find her 12-year-old. In the temple he was found, teaching wise men all around as they marveled at the wisdom that he told. Soon the people from both near and far away came to hear the precious words he had to say. And when thousands wanted food, he fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 7 fishes on that day. Now he brought the dead to life in Galilee, where the deaf could hear and all the blind could see. And when all the dumb could talk, he taught the lame to walk, saying, now pick up your cross and follow me. Now it wasn't long before the final test, betrayed by one of 12 he loved the best. And for 30 pence we're told, the Son of God was sold, and upon the cross they put this man to death. As he died, he told the world they should not grieve, and he later showed them why they should believe. For he died to save all sins and came back to life again, and we celebrate his birth each Christmas Eve. We celebrate his birth on Christmas Eve.
Fiddle Champion, and you're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock and the Wayback Country Jamboree.
Well, yes, friends, following those classic Stompin' Tom Connor songs that I would class his closest to the gospel-related songs, we're back here on the Wayback Country Jamboree in Woodlock Ranch Studios in Cornwall, Ontario, where this program is also taped weekly. We are also coming to you via CFRC 101.9 FM from the heart of downtown Kingston, Ontario, the Limestone City of Canada. As I welcome you all back into the program this morning on this, what would have marked the 89th birthday of Charles Thomas Connors, forever remembered as Stompin' Tom Connors. I like to remember his Christmas album titled Merry Christmas Everybody. With that shared, I would like to play the main title track off this and Merry Christmas Everybody, then follow that with another all-time favorite by Stompin' Tom, which was released on the same Christmas album titled Christmas Angel. So with that, I know it's not Christmas, but I do hope y'all enjoy these nonetheless. And you know, I've been very shocked over the years to find out that a lot of people don't even realize that Tom Connors had a Christmas album. So with that, welcome into the third and final hour, friends.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and a Happy New Year, too. May your holidays be merry and every wish come true. May you always be remembered by those so dear to you. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through. Well, there's old Grandpappy, and he sure looks happy with Granny just a slap on her knees. There's old Aunt Mary with funny Uncle Harry, and they're trying to give the baby a squeeze. There's long-lost cousins, kitties by the dozens, and they're gonna stay the whole day long. Get together now, friends and neighbors, sing a happy holiday song. Merry Christmas, everybody, and a Happy New Year, too. May your holidays be merry and every wish come true. May you always be remembered by those so dear to you. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through. The turkey's on the table now, and when you're feeling able, you can take another helping if you will. But soon as you eat it, I'm afraid you gotta beat it, 'cause you gotta give the chair to Brother Bill. And hey, Uncle Marty, it's an all-night party, and don't you pour the drinks too strong. Get together now, friends and neighbors, sing a happy holiday song. Merry Christmas, everybody, and a Happy New Year, too. May your holidays be merry and every wish come true. May you always be remembered by those so dear to you. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through. Get you on my mind every year at Christmas time, as I trim every bough, branch, and limb. But I don't want to see an angel on the tree till you're back in my arms once again. Christmas angel, I have named you since the day we first trimmed a Christmas tree. And I called it my love, and I placed up above a little angel where I wanted you to be. And I get you on my mind every year at Christmas time, as I trim every bough, branch, and limb. But I don't want to see an angel on the tree till you're back in my arms once again. Christmas angel, I have named you for the Christmas tree I'm holding in my heart. And I'm leaving a spot for your love on the top. Christmas angel, even though we're far apart, I get you on my mind every year at Christmas time, as I trim every bough, branch, and limb. But I don't want to see an angel on the tree till you're back in my arms once again. I get you on my mind every year at Christmas time, as I trim every bough, branch, and limb. But I I don't want to see an angel on the tree till you're back in my arms once again. Till you're back in my arms once again.
It's once again that time in the program where we like to pay tribute to the East Coast ballads of country music, keeping with the tradition of this Wayback Country Jamboree's 89th celebration to the life of none other than Stompin' Tom Connors. I would like to pay tribute to a trip we're going to take here on this morning's show to the Maritimes. Having been born in St. John's, New Brunswick, and growing up on a farm located on Skinner's Pond, Prince Edward Island, I would like to do a trip through the eastern coast of Canada. Today, with a salute to the Maritimes, first, let's hear from New Brunswick and Mary. Then we'll cross over the bridge to PEI with a song called Song of the Irish Moss. And Stompin' Tom also recorded this song with the name Russell Albert in it. And that was his stepfather way down there in Skinner's Pond, PEI. Then we'll go back to Nova Scotia and hear an all-time favorite titled Sable Island, which is about the graveyard of the Great Atlantic Ocean just off the coast of Nova Scotia. And we'll wrap up with none other than Margo's Cargo way out there on the Rock of Newfoundland. So with that, I would like to say good morning to everybody listening in on the Eastern Seaboard, especially Peter and Myrna Trenholm in Pugwash, Nova Scotia, and just say good morning. Welcome in, friends.
I get heartsick and blue for New Brunswick and you since I left for the West and the Prairie. And the stars up above know the two things I love are my home in New Brunswick and Mary. I'll bet the salmon are all running now along the old Miramichi, and in Woodstock the potatoes will be doing fine. While away out west in the wheat fields, with Mary still in my heart, I've got far away New Brunswick in my mind. And I get heartsick and blue for New Brunswick and you, since I left for the west and the prairie. And the stars up above know the two things I love are my home in New Brunswick and Mary. I can see the cattle just coming home in Sussex where Mary lives, and I catch the glimpse of a moose in the lonesome pine. While away out west in the wheat fields, with Mary's love in my heart, I've got far away New Brunswick in my mind. And I get heartsick and blue for New Brunswick and you, since I left for the west and the prairie. And the stars up above know the two things I love are my home in New Brunswick and Mary. I get heartsick and blue for New Brunswick and you, since I left for the west and the prairie. And the stars up above know the two things I love are my home in New Brunswick and Mary. Down on old Prince Edward Island, when the winds are on the blow, and the ocean water's rolling through the reefs and rocks below, and the Irish moss comes drifting where the whitecap waters roar, with my scoop and my fork and my wagon and horse, I'll be heading on down the shore. With my scoop and my fork and my wagon and horse, I'll be heading on down the shore. On old Prince Edward Island, where the Irish moss is found, with bags and ropes and baskets, they come from miles around. Thrashing through the water, being careful not to fall, 'cause one good dash and a hell of a splash, you could lose your overalls. One good dash and a hell of a splash, you could lose your overalls. There's horses in the water, and horses on the road. And here comes old Russell Elward, and he's hauling up another big load. And the party lines keep ringing, and the word keeps passing on. You can hear them roar from the Tignish shore, there's moss and Skinner's Pond. You can hear them roar from the Tignish shore, there's moss and Skinner's Pond. On old Prince Edward Island, there's one big hullabaloo. The boys and the girls and the old folks, they're gonna make a few bucks too. Getting wet to the neck in the ocean, where the waves all turn and toss. But it's a free-for-all and they're having a ball, they're bringing in the Irish moss. It's a free-for-all and they're having a ball, they're bringing in the Irish moss. Now the moss plant boys are waiting, the pay's so much a pound. And there goes a guy on horseback, and they both look damn near drowned. But all those smiling faces just mean one thing to me. For every man with a calloused hand, there's a blessing from the sea. For every man with a calloused hand, there's a blessing from the sea. There's an islander somewhere lonesome, 'cause he can't be home today. To have a little sip of the moonshine and haul another load away. In the land of the great potato, where the lobster feeds are wild. And we thank the boss for the Irish moss on old Prince Edward Isle. We thank the boss for the Irish moss down on old Prince Edward Isle. About 100 miles off the coast of my Nova Scotian home, there's an island with a tale of woe to tell. It's the graveyard of the old Atlantic Ocean, and they say it flies the phantom flag of hell. There's a demon down below the swirling waters who has claimed the bones of about 10,000 men who were shipwrecked on the shoals of Sable Island. And he left her dying voices on the wind. So sailor, take warning and pray every morning when it's your luck to sail on a dreary day. For Sable Island, more than any other island, has taken more ships and the lives of men away. It has taken more ships and the lives of men away. 500 wrecks can be found on the shores of Sable Isle, with their treasures unrecovered in the sand. They've been guarded by the herd of hungry horses and the ghostly apparitions of the land. Sable Island that defies a chart position, always moving with the old Atlantic tide, lies awaiting for some unsuspecting vessel and the sands of hell to turn her on her side. So sailor, take warning and pray every morning when it's your luck to sail on a dreary day. For Sable Island, more than any other island, has taken more ships and the lives of men away. It has taken more ships and the lives of men away. Many hundred men through the years have been banished by their kings to the graveyard of the old Atlantic sea, where they killed each other off to keep on living until death itself could never set them free. They still walk among the wrecks of Sable Island, forever calling sailors to their doom. When the fog is thick, ahoy, there's a vessel on her journey to that land beyond the tomb. So sailor, take warning and pray every morning when it's your luck to sail on a dreary day. For Sable Island, more than any other island, has taken more ships and the lives of men away. It has taken more ships and the lives of men away. Heard the news in Newfoundland, rolling around the rock, how Reggie brought for Margie home a cowsy dungsy clock. With Margie being a farm girl, she almost took a fit to find the cowsy dungsy clock was really made of it. the clock was from Toronto, and her mind was soon made up. She said to Reggie, get the cow and load her on the truck. We're heading for Ontario, and we're off to make her big. 'Cause Margot's got the cargo by, and Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Margot's got the cargo by, and Reggie's got the rig. Now they're rolling through the Maritimes, the truck was nearly full. The cow began to bawl, she was lonesome for the bull. The Mountie pulled him over, is there something I can do? Go right ahead, Sir Margie said, climb in the back and move. Now when they got to Montreal, they missed the auto route. But they found that everyone in town was glad to help them out. The sooner you hit Toronto, they said, the sooner you'll make her big. 'Cause Margot got the cargo by, and Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Margot's got the cargo by, and Reggie's got the rig. Now the truck was overflowing when Toronto hit the rise. The 401 was full of dung and the cab was full of flies. We're losing lots of money, Reg, we can't afford to stop. We gotta find the place that makes the cowsy dungsy clock. Well, I wish you could have been there on the corner of Queen and Yonge. When Margot found the company and she dumped her load of dung. And when she found the office, she was singing and doing a jig. Margot's got the cargo buys and Reggie's got the rig. Reggie got the rig. Reggie got the rig. Margot brought the cargo buys and Reggie brought the rig. It was later in the evening when they heard from Mr. Judge. I don't know what they give yous, but I'll never hold a grudge. I think $1,000 would be fair to hand you down, and 30 days of lodging will be free upon the town. Now Margot says to Reggie, what a hell of a deal we struck. We might have lost a cow by, but still we got the truck. And now they're back in Newfoundland, they're loading up the pig. 'Cause Margot got the cargo by, and Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Reggie's got the rig. Margot's got the cargo by, and Reggie's got the rig. Margot's got the cargo by, and Reggie's got the rig.
Hi friends, it's Peter Trenum from way down here in Nova Scotia. You're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the Wayback Country Jamboree on CFRC 101.9 FM.
To be ever with the Lord, you and me.
Well, yes friends, it is once again time to welcome a very special third and final interview guest onto the Wayback Country Jamboree this morning on this, our celebration to our beloved king of Canadian country music, Stompin' Tom's 89th birthday celebration. Now, just because he is the last guest does not mean he's less important than any of the other guests on the Wayback Country Jamboree this morning. He is a longtime Stompin' Tom fan for years, also a true historian, fellow proud Canadian, who is keeping the legacy of Stompin' Tom alive and well in today's era. Through the Facebook page dedicated to Stompin' Tom Connors, titled Stompin' Tom Connors Fan Club. That is on Facebook. Now, it's an honor to welcome Alan Dalton to our program this morning in this interview with Alan. Now, following this, we will play an all-time favorite that he asked me to play for his mother out there in Sault Ste. Marie, and it's from 1969 called Algoma Central 69. With that, here's a great friend of mine and a true friend to many Stompin' Tom fans through Facebook, Mr. Alan Dalton.
Thanks for having me, Johnny. How are you?
Very good, and it's a pleasure to be talking to you. How's everything down Prince Edward Island these days?
Oh, going pretty good. We're starting to get some real winter weather now.
Yes, for sure. So let's go into how you first got acquainted with his music.
As a kid, I guess. It was played around when I was really small, and I just, as you can imagine, his music stood out among a lot of other people's because he was different.
Yes, you know, he wasn't unique.
He wasn't like everybody else. So as a kid, he stood out to you, you know, and he wasn't afraid to make a fool of himself sometimes. But, you know, he also made some pretty serious tunes there, too. Like, yes, he wasn't just novelty kind of thing, but he made all kinds of music for everybody, and I think that's what made him, you know.
He was the man of the land in many ways, yes.
He appealed to so many people, too, you know.
Exactly.
And there was a chance he probably thumbed his way to your part of town anywhere in Canada, so.
That's right. And he wrote about your brother, your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather, whoever. Exactly, yeah.
You know, somebody you knew along the way.
That's right, exactly. That's right.
Made him so unique. Right?
That's for sure, yeah. So you're from Prince Edward Island. What is the reaction to him down there for those who have never been to the East Coast?
Well, I'm not from Prince Edward Island. My dad is. And
okay.
My dad's family is. I'm originally from Ontario myself.
Okay.
I live here now. But it was always seemed to be more of a... Tom was always more of a presence here on the island, you know, obviously, because he spent some of his formative years here in Skinner's Pond. And, you know, he did a lot of his early music work here in PEI. I was actually talking to a friend of my aunt's not long ago about JR's Bar, which he wrote about in a song once, that was here in Charlottetown. And a lot of artists got their start there. Tom was given a chance to get a leg up there. Anne Murray was, John Allen Cameron, guys like that. So, you know, I guess when they found someone who was a local islander, it was a real big deal.
And they gave them the publicity, exactly, yes.
Yeah, and when you write a song about the island, you know, that became such a big hit, like Bud the Spud.
For sure,
you know,
for sure.
You know, mm-hmm. It makes all islanders stand up and go, hey, that's us, you know.
I also understand that you have an interesting proposition for the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I want to announce it kind of on your show. I want to see if there's a possible way to get Tom inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame for the hockey song, because I really think that song has done a lot for the sport. And, it's played at a lot of hockey rinks across Canada and North America, from what I've heard.
Well, it's the national anthem for all hockey players, more or less, yes.
And it's one of those songs that's just I've worked in hockey quite a bit over my life, and every time I've heard that song come on the loudspeaker, it just gets the crowd going. And he's been asked to play it several times. I played it at the Hockey Hall of Fame induction ceremony when Gretzky went in.
Yes.
Okay. So things like that. And he's played it at the opening of the NHL Awards. So I just think maybe he belongs in there, maybe under the Builders category.
Well, true. Yes. I never thought of that. I was wondering what category he would have fit into. But yeah, the Builders would be.
And I'm just thinking, I've talked to someone at the Hall of Fame, and I think the first thing you're supposed to do is get a petition.
Yes.
So if you... somewhere down the line when I try and get that going.
Well,
if there's
anything we can do to help, you know we're on board for it.
That sounds great. You guys are very supportive of Canadian talent.
Well,
Tom,
we try.
Especially. But yeah, I just think it'd be great to have that honor bestowed upon him for, you know, doing what he did, that song, doing what it's done for hockey over the years. And I just think it'd be great to see him hanging up on the wall with some of the other greats that are already there.
So you also live close to the Stompin' Tom Center down in PEI.
A couple hours away.
Okay.
We live in Charlottetown, which is about a couple hours, but we have some vacation land, which is about 20 minutes from Skinner's Pond.
I see.
Where my father grew up. Yeah. So, we go up there sometimes for lunch. There's entertainment there every day from 1 o'clock till 2 o'clock. It really packs people in, and the museum's up there, and the schoolhouse that he went to, and...
Oh, the schoolhouse is still there, is it?
Yes, yeah. And then you can go into the you can go take a walk around the house that he actually lived in with his step parents back
then.
Yes. So it's quite a spot. Because for years it was boarded up and
exactly. What I remember was the boarded up schoolhouse. I never really was to the center before.
Yeah, if you get a chance, I highly recommend coming back and checking it out. And anyone else listening, if you're down here, make the trip up to the west end of the island to see it, because it really is quite a... It's nice to see something there for him, because he really did make the island what it was.
And he put it on the map in many ways.
Oh, he sure did. And the thing that always amazes me is, you know, he was known for hitchhiking a lot. I still can't believe somebody got from there off the island. It amazes me. Mm-hmm. It truly does amaze me, because it's not an easy trip to get from Skinner's Pond down to where the bridge or where the boat was back at the time.
No, I remember about 2006 I went out there, and it's quite a Like, we never really got to Skinner's Pond on that trip because of how far it was from the bridge.
Yeah, it's not close. It's I mean, it's a beautiful drive, don't get me wrong. Yeah, it's a beautiful spot, but I mean, it's nice to see the road going down to the harbor and the beautiful beach there. It's the Stompin' Tom Road, as it's called, and which is quite an honor, I would think, to have as well, but it really is the worth the drive up there if you get the chance and you're down here for the summer. There's more to Prince Edward Island than Charlottetown and Cavendish, and so it's worth taking the drive out of your way to get up there, I think, anyway.
Now, you were also mentioning about keeping his legacy into the future. What can we do about that?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, keep the hockey song alive. Yes. And, you know, by getting... maybe trying to see if we can get him into the Hall of Fame would be, I mean, even if he doesn't, maybe you'll get some attention for trying.
Yes, true.
I'm thinking to get another generation onto his music, maybe use it in TikTok videos, because I think young people get into music by hearing songs on TikTok a lot, reels on the internet, little things like that. Even if it's just a portion of a song, maybe somebody will hear it and go, who is that? You know?
Exactly. Yes, like they have so many others of the legends.
Yeah, because it seems to me like his music is disappearing off the landscape a little bit, and I'd like to see if we can keep it going.
I was talking to Duncan Frimlin, he's ahead of this interview during the first hour, and he was saying that there's a whole another decade of people that don't even know who Tom is, which is sad.
Yeah, and that's what I'd like to see, if there's a way to do it. Like, I mean, your show obviously keeps doing that. There's another radio show based out of Charlottetown called the Saturday Night Hoedown, which has been playing old country music for 60 years on Saturday nights, and they'll play at least one Stompin' Tom song a week, so that kind of helps a little bit. Use it in a movie, use it in a TV episode, or a commercial, or a TikTok video.
And that's what's overdue, too, is a movie on his life.
I think that would be a lot, too. That would do quite a bit.
Or even a documentary.
A documentary would be fantastic, but, you know, I guess the tough thing is, with every documentary, is what angle do you take at it?
Very true, yeah. Really,
you know, and where do you get all the material, you know? Because I don't know if you saw Tom Green just made one on his life recently, the comedian out of Ottawa.
No, I didn't know that.
It's on one of the streaming services. But anyway, like, how do you get access to all the stuff you really want? Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, I mean, but, you know, I guess you got to see, is there enough interest for it? But I think it would build a lot of interest if something like that came out.
So tell us a little bit about your interviews that you do on your YouTube channel.
It's about Canadian music. It's called Canadian Music in the 80s and 90s. And more. You know, I can, you know, spread my wings a little bit and do stuff other than that. It started with my involvement with John Arsenault and the Stompin' Tom fan club. I was interviewing people that used to play with Tom in his band over the years. I've become friends with Billy McInnes. He played fiddle with Tom for many years. And I just thought, you know, why couldn't I branch out and do some stuff on my own, which I have, because I know Duncan Frimlin pretty well, too, and the Whiskey Jack fellas.
Very good friend of mine, yes.
I thought, why can't I do some of this on my own? So I started doing some of my own stuff with Canadian artists and stuff like that. I've interviewed some that aren't Canadian, but are just doing things in Canada, stuff like that. I'm actually going to interview a comedian tomorrow night. So.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
So that's kind of branching out a little bit, which I like to do once in a while.
Yes.
I'd like to get you on my podcast.
That'd be nice too, Alan, yeah.
Because what you're doing is pretty rare in the radio industry, actually. I think it is, because, I mean, you're doing a show and playing music that just doesn't get played anymore.
Well, that's true, very true. We're trying to keep the legends like Tom, different ones alive, for sure, yes.
Yeah, like you just don't hear this kind of music anymore.
No, we don't.
And it's missing, you know. It's where today's music came from. If we don't keep that preserved and for people to hear, you know, I like seeing where stuff came from.
That's true, and how they got there and who they were and everything, exactly, yes.
I mean, you hear all these new country songs and they mention classic country artists, and I wonder if some of the kids these days even know who they're singing about.
Very true, Alan. Yes, that's true. I never thought of it that way, but yes, it makes sense.
You know, like, I mean, everybody knows who the Johnny Cashes and the George Joneses are,
and
but
the
do
George
they know?
Strait thing.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know if it's played around the kids the way it was when I was. Like, I mean, I knew who Jim Reeves was when I was 10 years old.
Exactly. We knew them before we even knew some of our own people, for sure.
Exactly. It was around me before I got to develop my own taste in music, and I still turn it up when I hear it today.
Yes. For sure.
So
tell us about working with John Arsenault and the fan club you guys have on Facebook there.
It's great. It really does it gets you in touch with Tom's fans and realize there are quite a few of them out there. You know, you like hear it. It's great because we get them to post their stories about whether they've met Tom or their favorite songs. And they often post pictures of some of their collections of either CDs or record.
Exactly. You know, it's a fun place to be.
Yeah, it's fun to see the, you know, some people post ticket stubs of shows that they've went to. And you're, you know, it really makes you remember, you know, the impact Tom had when he was alive and doing his thing.
Like, it's seeing him in Shawville, Quebec. There was 50,000 people.
Wow.
That was amazing. As far as the eye could see, you could see people.
The thing I always remembered, though, when I did see him in concert was the difference in age groups. Like, I mean,
yes,
you'd see older people, you'd see people in their 20s and 30s, you'd see little kids, and they're all just, you know, clapping along and enjoying the music. And that's kind of the thing I'd like to keep going, you know what I mean? See if we can keep it
generational.
If there's some kind of tribute show that travels, bring your kids to hear it, you know what I mean?
Exactly. I know Whiskey Jack and Duncan does one for sure, but
another dream of mine is to try and call together as many of Tom's ex-band members together and do a show at the Stompin' Tom Center sometime.
That'd be very amazing.
But I mean, I know logistically it's not easy to do, but I think that would be a big, because who could play Tom's music better than people that played
that
with
did
him?
It.
You know, so I mean, and there's a lot of great musicians in there. You know, we had J.P. Cormier and Dave Gunning and played with him, Billy McInnes, Tim Hadley.
Al Widmeyer.
Yeah, exactly. Al Widmeyer's another guy who played with Tom for a long time. He's a very talented musician as well. Sure. You know, it'd be great to see them all here on the island. And the other thing I've talked to Brian Edwards a couple of times, who used to be Tom's promoter when he came out of his self-imposed retirement. And I didn't realize how many people in the music industry in the States knew who Tom was.
For sure.
Like, he told me that little Jimmy Dickens always asked him how Stompin' Tom was doing whenever he was down in Nashville, which I had no idea.
That's amazing.
Apparently Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters is a huge Stompin' Tom fan.
Is that right? I see.
Yeah, which I never would have predicted. I wouldn't even think you would have known who he was.
I didn't realize he would be known down south.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. Yeah. And the other thing I was wondering is, I saw wrote 2 weeks ago, Keith Urban did a surprise show at the Horseshoe Tavern.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
And I don't know if you've been there before or recently.
No,
but
I haven't.
Big,
I didn't know it was still in existence.
There's a big mural off to the side of the stage of Gord Downie and Stompin' Tom on there, and I'm wondering if Keith was looking over, wondering who they were, or maybe he did know who they were. I don't know.
Exactly.
So that always strikes me as, I wonder if they knew who Tom was. You know,
yes.
That kind of thing. So, but I assume a lot of people in the industry probably knew who he was.
So in closing today, tell us what song you would like me to play of Tom's for his 89th birthday.
Well, last year I asked you to play the song of the Irish Moss because my dad was raised up in that part of PEI where Tom was.
Yes.
And I'd like to do something for my mother, if it's okay with you. She was born in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.
Sure.
So I was hoping maybe you could play Algoma Central 69 for my mom.
One of my favorites, yes. We'll get that on for you. Yeah.
That sounds great. It's awesome. I really appreciate that.
Well, it sounds good, Alan. And keep on stomping and keep on the maple leaf flying high.
Will do. And you will too, I'm sure you
will. I sure will, yes. God bless you, Alan, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, John.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
She's on a bar hopping spree back in Sault Ste. Marie. Because of me, she's now a fallen star. She could have been true, but I left her in the Sioux, and I traveled north upon the ECR. But if it's go home or be a roamer, I've made up my mind. So take me home tonight, Algoma Central 69. I was working one day when I heard this fella say he met my girl while drinking at the bar. Though we fought between us two, still he swore that it was true. Now I curse that day I rode the ACR. But if it's go home or be a roamer, I've made up my mind. So take me home tonight, Algoma Central 69. Well, it might be in vain, here I wait for the train. I hope it's not too late to right the wrong. When she rolls around the bend, we'll be southbound again. Come on, old ACR, wheels move along. She's on a bar hopping spree back in Sault Ste. Marie. Because of me, she's now a fallen star. She could have been true, but I left her in the Sioux, and I traveled north upon the ACR. But if it's go home or be a roamer, I've made up my mind. So take me home tonight, Algoma Central 69. Take me home tonight, Algoma Central 69.
Now, friends, I do hope y'all enjoyed that interview with Alan. And following that, we will play the all-time national anthem of every hockey player this side of the border. And that is none other than the hockey song by Stompin' Tom Connors, dedicated to all the hockey players, past and present, of Canada, and especially to those in the Hockey Hall of Fame. It would be an honor to see him and the hockey song inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame of Canada, but if it ever happens, who knows? But in the meantime, here's this song that gave Stompin' Tom great fame through Hockey Night in Canada, none other than the hockey song. Welcome in, friends.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dash with skates aflash, the home team trails behind. But they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees, they travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside, it's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Third period, last game in the playoffs too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink, and the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Well, yes, friends, there's a lot of songs that we gotta fit into the program, but with there only being about a half hour left of this program, how do I fit them all in? With that mentioned, I would like to pay tribute to another song that we had a lot of requests for through the Facebook page, and that is none other than Big Joe Muffaraw. Now, from 2009, I would like to play a live version of this classic by Stompin' Tom. So let's turn back the years and remember this off the old DVD and program that he recorded live back in 2009, titled Stompin' Tom Connors Live in Concert.
We got to get back to talking a little bit about some more Canadianism, all that wonderful stuff that's going on in Ottawa these days. What we need in Ottawa is what we used to have back in the old days. A fella lived about 140 years ago. It's too damn bad he ain't living now. Heave high ho, the best man in Ottawa was Muffaraw Joe. Muffaraw Joe. Big Joe Muffaraw paddled in the Mattawa all the way from Ottawa in just one day. Hey, hey, on the River Ottawa, the best man we ever saw was Big Joe Muffaraw, the old folks say. Come and listen and I'll tell you what the old folks say. Daddy They say Big Joe had an old pet frog, bigger than a horse, and he barked like a dog. And the only thing quicker than a train upon a track was Big Joe riding on the bullfrog's back. Heave-hi-ho, the best man in Ottawa was Muffaroy Joe. Muffaroy Joe. They say Big Joe used to get real wet from cutting down timber and working up the sweat. And everyone will tell you around Carlton Place the Mississippi dripped off of Big Joe's face. Heave-hi-heave-hi-ho, the best man in Ottawa was Muffaroy Joe. Muffaroy Joe. Now Joe had the porties from the Gatineau down to see a little girl he had in Kempville Town. He was back and forth so many times to see that gal. The path he wore became the Rideau Canal. Heave-hi-heave-hi-ho, the best man in Ottawa was Muffaroy Joe. Muffaroy Joe. Big Joe Muffaroy paddled in the Mattawa all the way from Ottawa in just one day. On the River Ottawa, the best man we ever saw was Big Joe Muffaroy, the old folks say. Now listen and I'll tell you what the old folks say. They say Big Joe put out a forest fire halfway between Renfrew and Old Ironbriar. He was 50 miles away down around Smith Falls, but he drowned out the fire with five spitballs. Heave-hi-heave-hi-ho, the best man in Ottawa was Muffaroy Joe. Muffaroy Joe. Now, there's all kinds of tall tales about Big Joe. Get this one. He jumped in the Calabogie Lake real fast. He swam both ways to catch a cross-eyed bass. But he threw it on the ground, said, I can't eat that. So he covered her over with Mount St. Pat. Heave-hi-heave-hi-ho, the best man in Ottawa was Muffaroy Joe. Muffaroy Joe. Yeah, they say Big Joe drank a bucket of gin and then he beat the living tar out of 29 men. High on the ceiling of a Pembroke pub, there's 29 boot marks and they're slain with love. Heave-hi-heave-hi-ho, the best man in Ottawa was Muffaroy Joe. Muffaroy Joe. Big Joe Muffaroy paddled in an Ottawa all the way from Ottawa in just one day. On the River Ottawa, the best man we ever saw was Big Joe Muffaroy, the old folks say. I'm a listening and I'll tell you what the old folks say. They say, heave, high, ho. The best man in Ottawa was Muffaroy Joe. Muffaroy Joe. Big Joe Muffaroy, Big Joe Muffaroy, Big Joe Muffaroy, Big Joe Muffaroy.
Well, yes, friends, as we come up on the last couple of songs of the Jamboree this morning, I would like to pay tribute to a song which came out way back in 2008, which tells the story and song, the life and the career of Stompin' Tom Connors, none other than a song, well, simply titled The Ballad of Stompin' Tom. So with that, here's the later recording from that final sessions of Tom's musical career and path. We'll be back following this, play one final song, and then we'll be headed all home.
I was born in Old St. John, New Brunswick by the sea. Back in 1936, it was just my mom and me. And as she wandered through the land, shunned by family, she often had to beg for bread while I was only three. She taught me to hitchhike and to face the road alone and sing about what life was like for those that had no home. Holy, holy, holy. Well, I turned 4 in Halifax, 5 in Montreal, and every small town in between, by 6 I knew them all. And when the long road took us back to St. John, Mama cried. That night the strong arm of the law tore me from her side. And they made me an orphan and taught me not to roam. Just cry myself to sleep at night and not be a rolling stone. Holy, holy, holy. By the time that I turned 8, they said that I was cured. Cured from all that wanderlust to which I had been lured. And just in case my mum would try to find out where I'd gone, they shipped me off to PEI to a farm in Skinner's Pond.
And though I love the country, I call this island home. I'd sing about what life was like with a mother's love unknown. Believe, believe, believe. When I was 13 years of age, I couldn't take no more. I ran away from home one day and left my island shore. And while the Mounties everywhere were looking for their men, on a merchant ship from old St. John, I sailed for Newfoundland. And away out on the Grand Banks, the truth came like a knife. A drifter I would always be upon the roads of life. Outlee, outlee, outlee. Before the age of 17, I seen this country wide. An old guitar I'd gladly play, and I'd thank you for the ride. And many a conversations had through my journey long, they wound up in my repertoire of Canadian country songs. And everywhere I traveled, I dreamed along the way, God might make this vagabond a country star someday. Please, please, please. Then one night in Timmins Town, North Ontario, they said, if you can sing, we'll keep you around for a week or so. I packed the place for 14 months, and before they let me go, I'm driving a car, I got a new guitar, and I'm singing on the radio. From there, this old hitchhiker, he was on his road to fame, with Bud the Spud from the Bright Red Mud and the good old hockey game. Outlee, outlee, outlee. Then came Sudbury Saturday night at the Gumboot Logaroo. They made me the chairman of the board till I stomped the hole right through. And like old Luke with his old guitar, my song wasn't over yet, till I sang the ode that I wrote for the road and the mum that I can't forget. And when the party was over, I began to write this song. And tonight you've heard me sing the words to the ballad of Stompin' Tom. Tonight you've heard me sing the words to the ballad of Stompin' Tom. Oodlee, oodlee.
Well, yes, friends, it is once again that time in the program to play the very last selection of songs for the Wayback Country Jamboree for this, the 89th birthday of none other than Stompin' Tom Connors, Canada's Country King. With that, the year was 2011 that he brought out his final recordings, and off of this album titled The Roads of Life, there was a song that I would like to dedicate to all our war veterans, both past and present, and that is none other than the Flanders Field song. With that, I'd like to say that we'll be back following this. Send us all home. Walkman friends, and good morning.
In Flanders Field, where poppies grow, between the crosses, row on row, our graves are marked, as here we lie, out where the larks still bravely singing fly. Yet scarcely heard amid the guns below, in Flanders fields where the poppies grow, in Flanders fields not long ago, we felt the dawning and the sunset's glow.
we lived in love and with great pride. We left our homes and then for freedom died. But are we dead? Do you answer no? In Flanders fields where poppies grow, in Flanders fields we fought our foe, and from our hands now the torch we throw, and as it burns please hold it high, for if you break the faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though fair winds blow. In Flanders fields where poppies grow, we shall not sleep though fair winds blow. In Flanders fields where the poppies grow.
And that, friends, is a wrap on the Way Back Country Jamboree Morning Show. And as we say so long from the Way Back Country Jamboree, I would like to play now in the words of Stompin' Tom Connors, the way he would like to be remembered, in his own words.
What would I want to be remembered as? I think somebody who just wrote a song about what he's seen and what he experienced and what he knew at the time that was happening.
Well, yes, friends, we have officially come to the end of another Way Back Country Sunday morning here at the Way Back Country Jamboree. Following those words by Stompin' Tom Connors, I would like to wish him once again a happy 89th birthday up there in heaven. As we celebrated a man who was so much more than just an everyday man, he was in many ways the most patriotic and dedicated Canadian to ever have graced this country, stage, or radio, or in many ways our lives in Canada. Now, Stompin' Tom passed away at the age of 77 on March 6th, 2013. In many ways, it came without warning to many except for those closest to him. With that said, I like to pay tribute to Stompin' Tom the way he wanted to be remembered, and that was through a song titled I Am the Wind. Before Tom also passed away, he penned a letter to all his fans that said, I must now pass on the torch to all of you to help keep the maple leaf flying high and be the patriot Canada needs now and in the future. I humbly thank you one last time for allowing me into your homes. I hope I continue to bring a little bit of cheer into the lives from the work I have done. Sincerely, your friend, always, Stompin' Tom Connors. Yes, that was the way we said goodbye to Tom almost 12 years ago this coming March. As we say so long for this morning, I would like to play the song that he always wanted to be remembered by and is engraved on his tombstone in Erin, Ontario, none other than I Am the Wind. Then we'll follow with a song that was one that was played at his funeral in Peterborough, Ontario in 2013 by Mike Lum, and a tribute song titled Goodbye Stompin' Tom. With that, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to the program this morning. Say God bless each and every one of you, and we'll catch y'all next weekend, same great time, same great place. Over CFRC 101.9 FM, 8 to 11. So long, friends. And yes, Tom, we still miss and need you, especially nowadays. So long.
Canadians are mourning the loss of a music legend. Stompin' Tom Connors died yesterday at the age of 77. He didn't need any prompting to produce Canadian content. He wrote and sang about Canada because he loved Canada.
I am the wind. I am the wind. Without foe, without friend, I have no home, no cares to tend. All alone, I am the wind. here today and gone again on my way. I am the wind, I am the wind, lazy wind, gentle breeze in Lover's Glen. In the awesome tales of fishermen testing sails, I am the wind, I am the wind, contrary wind, here to serve my maker's end. I don't believe I've ever sinned. I only know I am the wind, I am the wind, swirling wind, stripping trees at summer's end. But I am the song of spring again, right or wrong, I am the wind, I am the wind, eternal wind, around the door between gods and men. And if you see how I go in, you'll have the key and know the wind. You'll have the key, my friend, to know the wind.
So long, Stompin' Tom, I can't believe you're gone. So long, Stompin' Tom, but at least we've got your songs. Like Bud the Spud from the Bright Red Mud and the Gumboot Cloggeroo. So long, Stompin' Tom, may God take care of you. Me and my wife and kids, we all sing along. Driving around Moncton Town, singing the hockey song. We were tooting at it, and we was at it until we tuned our attitude in. So long, Stompin' Tom, until we meet again. Well, so long, Stompin' Tom, I can't believe you're gone. So long, Stompin' Tom, but at least we've got your songs. Like Margo's got the cargo bay and the old muckaluck shoe. So long, Stompin' Tom, may God take care of you. So many people I've not met, but yet I know by name. Like poor old Ben down in the pen and that gal Red River Jane. Or Potato and Tomato driving the Windsor in their car. And see walking past the pawn shop is Luke with his guitar. Well, so long, Stompin' Tom, I can't believe you're gone. So long, Stompin' Tom, but at least we've got your songs. Like the TTC Skedaddler and Goodbye Rubberhead too. So long, Stompin' Tom, may God take care of you. Well, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they're all hanging on every word. While you're singing songs of Saskatchewan and tobacco from Tillsonburg, a million drunken angels are singing with you tonight. And when you see my mom down in the front row, could you tell her I'm doing all right? And so long, Stompin' Tom, I can't believe you're gone. So long. least we've got your songs, like Big Joe Mufferaw and Sudbury Saturday Night. So long, Stompin' Tom, may you rest in peace tonight. So long, Stompin' Tom, may you rest in peace tonight.
His songs spoke to common people about things they love and understand, like ketchup, potatoes, and tobacco picking, and the struggles of the everyday man. His memory will live on forever through the messages in the songs that he sang, in his wife and sons and daughters, and through the millions of his fans. Canada is so much a better place because of Stompin' Tom, the legend, the man.